Very much. You already mentioned it. A lot of changes in the leaders, in the global leaders, already appeared. According to my knowledge, if I count rightly, during the last 18 months, 12 European countries changed their governments. And it probably is not the end of the story. There can be even more in line waiting for to be replaced or re-elected, whatever it means. Now, coming to Europe and Russia especially, I think there are always two options. The Russians have the option either to look to more to the east or more to the west. That's a choice, it's a political choice, and the European Union has a different choice, either to look more inward, navel-gazing, as we do it sometimes, or more interested looking outside, what is going on in the world. So these are the two important challenges for Russia and the European Union. Interestingly, the first travel of Vladimir Putin will lead to Belarus and to China, and there are some indications that Vladimir Putin and Russia is de facto following the American example. America is more or less now focused on the Pacific region, and interestingly now Russia is doing the same, not looking to China, looking to India, to the BRIC countries, neglecting that Russia is completely different from the BRIC countries, first from the development, second from history, from the geographic position it may be, but it's not the same, situation, and it's always lagging behind the emerging countries in growth rates, in economic success, etc. And there is another idea, another priority for Russia to develop a strategic partnership with the neighbors, the neighboring countries. And this is interesting for me as an economist because I'm always looking to the real figures, to facts and figures. And the interesting thing is that the trade between Russia and its neighboring countries in the old Soviet times is steadily declining, not in absolute terms, of course, but in relative terms, the share of exports and imports is going down. From 1994 to 2010, for instance, the share of neighbors in relationship to Russian exports went down from 22 to 15%. In imports, it's even more impressive, from 27% down to 14%. In foreign direct investment, during the last 6 years, it went down from 22% to 8.5%. So there is no sign that there is really an emerging push forward. In contrary, it went down. So in my, according to my vision, to my knowledge, to my wish, of course, EU and Russia should be a top priority for forging a strategic partnership. Of course, you have to choose. You cannot have strategic partnerships with everybody, because if you have a lot of strategic partnerships, you will end with no strategic partner at all. But EU and Russia share the same values in a great field of expertise, of Christian roots, etc. We have very good economic developments and trade relationships. 60% of the Russian exports are going to the European Union, etc. So EU and Russia should be a top priority, but de facto it is not. This is the reality. 3 years ago, Europe and Russia set out to normalize the relatively difficult relationship after the Georgian crisis, and we created the so-called Partnership for Modernization. We launched this idea of Partnership for Modernization. The results until now are, honestly speaking, disappointing. All relevant and important issues are controversial. Is it the energy policy? The energy sector? Is it the question of visa liberalization? Is it foreign policy issues? We spoke in the morning about the Arab Spring, about Georgia, of course, Syria, Libya, Iran. On all questions, Russia is de facto sitting on the other side of the fence. the only real success during the last few months was the accession to WTO after 20 years of hard and intensive networking and negotiations. By the way, this is one thing where there, including Igor Jürgens and myself, were strongly involved because we helped to ease and to mediate on both sides that it worked well. Now, what can we do in these new circumstances, in this new strategic field? First of all, the most important thing is to create and re-establish trust. I remember one speaker in the morning said it, the lack of trust is de facto today one of the big problems in the international community, and this is true. This starts, for instance, with the missile defense. Honestly, I'm not speaking for everybody, for somebody, not for institutions, it's just my personal opinion. It would be a big mistake if NATO is not ready and not willing and not able to integrate Russia in this very important issue. It doesn't make sense. Of course, there is a need to defend ourselves against aggression from Iran or somebody else, but the important thing is to integrate Russia in a system of collective security. By the way, one of our board members of Dialogue Europe-Russia, Wolfgang Ischinger, published the same idea 1 week ago in some European, very important and influential newspapers. So on the other hand, I see a very negative and a very disturbing rhetoric figure emerging on the Russian side. For instance, the chief of the military in Russia. I mean, this was something which is not necessary. Makarov, I think was his name, speaking about the prevention strike against NATO installations. This is not the right way to do it. So we have to water down and to calm down the rhetoric on all sides. I think, all in all, NATO should be seen as a partner, not as an enemy. And on the other hand, Russia is a partner and not an enemy. If you listen what during the American primaries some candidates are saying, that Russia is the enemy number one, etc. So, I mean, this is absolutely strange at the beginning of the 21st century to speak with such expressions. Second, I think economy is in all aspects a key issue, and we should really try to exploit and to get a positive outcome of the chances and opportunities of the WTO membership. We have nothing against regional integration or regional mutual trade or mutual better understanding Russia and its partner, but it should be and based on the principles of WTO and not, so to say, creating additional problems and barriers. And I think what we, especially again with Dialogue Europe-Russia, we can exchange the best practices on all sides. For instance, we organized together with INSOR a seminar where we offered the expertise of the relevant and successful pension scheme reforms in Central, Eastern, and Northern Europe. There were absolutely positive and some problematic experiences, and we can share all these things. We engage the best speakers, the best experts. This is something. Or the training of skilled workers. This is something what especially the Russian industry needs and could get. Or the experiences, especially in the central part of Europe, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, energy saving, renewable energy. This is something what can be offered, and vice versa. On the other hand, Russia has a lot to say. Third part, I think we should engage not only the institutions and the governments, but also the civil society. We had last week, for instance, a very fascinating exchange of views of young students, 17 years old, from five Russian regions, together with seven European countries, EU countries. And it was really fascinating how this young generation from all sides are eager and willing to engage and to integrate themselves. They spoke quite fluently and open-minded in a completely different way what the older generation generation could do or could do. One interesting point, which is rarely mentioned in public debates, is the role of religion. And I think this is something we should take into account, because there are some real problems in the future. The crisis of welfare states, not only in Russia, also in Europe, you have the same problem. How can the churches, how can religion contribute to ease problems in these areas? What about child and elderly care system, people with disabilities, about religious education, learning and practicing tolerance, community building, voluntary activities? All these things are, there is a lot of expertise based in the Orthodox, in the Christian churches, and I think there is the need for a better understanding and to be more involved in these areas. Now, coming to an end, what I see in the relations, in the relationship between Europe and Russia, it is too much personalized. For instance, on the Russian side, it is not a very good understanding what the European institutions are all about. Neither the government or the presidents, whoever it was really understanding and feeling why and how the European institutions, the Commission, the Council, the relevant presidencies, etc., are doing, how to deal with them, how to be integrated, and how to be a valuable counterpart or partner in these discussions. Russia was always inclined to deal on a bilateral level. Good relations, personal relations with Gerhard Schröder, with Silvio Berlusconi, this was much more important than dealing with the European track. Of course, nothing against good bilateral and personal relationship, but I think it is important to see that important successes and opportunities can only be completed if you use the European institutions, especially the European Commission. And then I think one interesting thing is that democracy needs democrats, and democrats have needs the opportunity to vote and to choose between different options. So if you too much personalize the questions and the problems, then you have only the option person A or person B. But this is not the case in modern societies. You have to have substantial options and alternatives. And it's okay, it can be a more nationalistic view, it can be a more globalistic view, it can more be a more liberal or a more socially oriented, a more economic based or a more agricultural, more security oriented or more more research and development oriented. But you need options. And the interesting thing is that parties should offer these options. It should not be always a personalized discussion, how is this person doing, thinking, what are the persons around. But I think there is a need for a more substantial debate on options, what we can gain, what we have to fear, who will win, who can lose. And at the end, I think the relevant issue is to find out, to create not what our friend, I think it was Paris in the morning, saying not a zero-sum game, so this should be a win-win situation. What one side can win is not the lose of the others. It must be a situation where everybody has the opportunity to win and to gain something. And I think an integrated economic space from Lisbon to Vladivostok, an attractive investment climate, a visa-free travel, a mutually beneficial energy trade, a cooperation in key foreign policy areas, and an effective cooperation in human rights and rule of law, this is something where all sides can win. So this is the challenge for the future.